Okay, those of us who've been listening have heard some astonishing details about the two men who were described as suspects in the Boston Marathon bombing, one of whom was killed overnight, the other of whom is still being sought by authorities, with much of that search focused on Watertown, Massachusetts. These are young men who led police on a violent chase overnight. And we're going to go next to Fred Bever. He is with our member station, WBUR. He is on the scene of a lot of police activity right now. And Fred, what can you describe?
Well, Steve, it's been a sort of moving story in this one small neighborhood that I've been in since last night. Earlier this morning, there's a brick home that got a lot of attention, dogs, SWAT teams in and out. Apparently, one of the residents had found some blood in the yard, and that's actually been sent out for testing, but it's believed that it had been blood. Then the SWAT teams moved down the street, methodically working through each house and searching them. And then just about 40 minutes ago, there was a sudden flurry of activity on a street just below where that brick house is. Mm-hmm. And they ran the media away. And their helicopter suddenly appeared overhead. We could hear a megaphone saying something like, "Come out." And then massive amounts of SWAT teams and other law enforcement moved in. There were armored vehicles, and really it's just almost an army of law enforcement. And it was very tense for about 20, 30 minutes. Then it sort of eased. They went back in and searched the street again, same brick building, and now that very heightened presence has dissipated and may have moved on to another part of Watertown or of the city. So it's been an ebb and flow like that. Incredible alertness, intensity, followed by a kind of relaxation as police realize that the danger may not be immediately in their face.
All right. Thanks so much, Fred. Stay on the line with us if you can. And as we understand it, our counterterrorism correspondent, Dina Temple-Raston, reported some time ago that the two suspects, one of whom has been killed, are from Chechnya. And so we have called up Thomas Duvall. He's a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. His specialty is the Caucasus region and the North Caucasus, which is part of Russia, Chechnya, and several other republics. Mr. Duvall, your first thoughts hearing that the Boston Marathon suspects were from Chechnya this morning?
Well, it was a shock, but it was a shock that came about, I would say, 10 years too late. For those of us who've been following Chechnya, I mean, this place in the 1990s was, if you like, the Afghanistan of Europe, was completely devastated by two wars in which tens of thousands of Chechens died, provoked a wave of terrorism in Russia, a lot of anti-Americanism. And at that point, many of us were predicting that maybe there would be a terrorist incident in the West. And then Chechnya is much more quiet these days. But obviously, this is as it were, catch-up. Maybe this is something, this is a younger generation. It's obviously too early to say, but this is something that we weren't expecting now.
You're saying you might have expected it 10 years ago when there was a lot more going on. But we should say there's been violence. There have been extremist movements in some of the other republics, Ingushetia, Dagestan. So this is not an entirely peaceful region. And again, we're talking about the climate in these places, knowing nothing yet about what particular connection the suspects in the marathon case have. But there's been instability in this region, in other parts of it at least.
Absolutely. There's an ongoing Islamic insurgency in this region. You know, hundreds of people are dying every year. Chechnya itself is relatively more quiet, although not completely stable. One of the reports I read said that one or two of these brothers lived in Dagestan, which is a much more Islamic republic of Russia, and also has seen a lot of violence. So it's possible that we should pay less attention to the fact that these people come from Chechnya and the fact that they've lived throughout Russia in different Islamic regions.
Well, that raises another question. And of course, we're simply asking the question to lay the groundwork here. We do not know what was in the mind of either young man. And in fact, with the descriptions we've had in the last half hour on this program, it becomes more and more mysterious to link them up with these events to which they've been linked. But why would young Chechenian men, or anyone from Russia, have a particular problem with the United States? If that is what happened here, why would a Chechen want to do something like this?
Well, it has to be said, I think Chechnya has to be one of the most anti-Western places on the planet. In the 1990s, There was a widespread feeling that the war that Boris Yeltsin waged there was done with, if not with American support, but with kind of American compliance and silence. And then in the 2000s, more recently, we've seen a very anti-American local government in Chechnya with Vladimir Putin's strongman there. So whether you're in government or in the
emergency,
you're bound to be anti-American.
And this is all going to be very interesting. The United States does share intelligence with Russia. It has been a tense relationship since Vladimir Putin became president again. But what do you expect the next steps to be, and how will Russia, given the political situation in this region, react to the United States sort of reaching out and starting to talk about how to deal with this?
Well, it's a bit awkward because obviously U.S.-Russian relations are at a new low at the moment, and this is not a moment when you want to be sharing sensitive information, but obviously agencies will be reaching out to each other. And one other issue I think will be coming up, which is that in less than a year's time, there are going to be the Sochi Winter Olympics in that region, in the North Caucasus.
Okay.
You know, Americans and many other nations will be going there, and I think there'll be new questions about security collaboration about the Winter Olympics.
Thomas Duvall, thanks very much for your insights. Appreciate it. He's with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. We've just got a few seconds. Let's go back to Fred Bever in Watertown, Massachusetts. Fred, is the scene changing at all there?
No, not at the moment, not at my position here. It's quiet for the time being. There has been a very sort of intense block perimeter set around this particular area where there appeared to be activity about a half an hour ago, but it's quiet now.
Okay, thanks very much, Fred. Appreciate it. Fred Bever is with member station WBUR, part of our coverage this morning, and reminding those who are just waking up that police are looking for the second suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing. Another suspect was killed overnight. Both men described as young men from Chechnya, one of them 19 years old, one of them 26, both of them having lived for some time in the United States. As much as we've learned, we have many questions still to answer. We'll continue working for them, the answers on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Greene.